Well, as I was saying earlier, there are 10 core concepts in religious science. Core concept 9, we stuck in the month of April because it covers immortality, which is a good subject for the Easter month. And next meeting, Phil and Connie are going to be covering this subject as well. I don't know which aspect of immortality they're going to cover. I've decided that I'm going to talk about immortality and kind of what it means to not have a body. And I'm going to ignore the subject of grief because I think that's something that maybe other people would be better off covering at this point in time. And I want to say from a personal experience, I have spent a lot of time with people that were near death as a hospice volunteer and also as a friend. So I've certainly seen a lot of people who are near their transition, and I've had some really good conversations with them about how they felt about their impending death. Ernest Holmes says that immortality is a universal principle. It's not a belief or a bargain made with the universe for good behavior. God only knows life. It's eternal continuity, evolution, and expansion. And I think there's some place in the textbook that talks about his belief that we don't reincarnate, that we continue to evolve. Now, what we evolve into is, kind of up in the air, but he says that there's limitless circles of evolution that we could go into. Immortality, according to the dictionary, is unending existence. And so death is kind of a human concept that we have made up to describe the transition from a physical form to our non-physical form. I believe that we are always in non-physical form, and occasionally we go into a body, but that there's a part of us that's timeless and unending. I did most of my research in the 1926 edition of the Science of Mind textbook, which is a favorite of mine. It has a chapter that was eliminated from the more popular version of the Science of Mind textbook that we use in our training, and this is the chapter on psychic phenomena. And I love some of the things that he talks about in here because they kind of describe immortality from a different perspective. Holmes talks about something called mental atmosphere. Does anybody know what that is? Well, a mental atmosphere is something that each person has, and it's the result of everything that we've ever thought, said, or unconsciously perceived, and that we walk around with this all the time. And it's a very real thing. And for instance, if I go up to somebody like Catherine, in some ways I can feel her mental atmosphere. I can feel right away whether or not she's somebody I'm going to want to talk to or somebody who makes me feel really uncomfortable. And as Emerson says, it's our unspoken words that speak the loudest. Or as he says that what you are speaks so loudly that I cannot hear what you say. So we walk around at all times, and we've got this collection of thoughts. I almost feel it's like having a sign on the back of me that says, I feel inadequate or something like that. But other people pick it up. Or perhaps it's like I can recall being told by my grandfather that dogs perceive very easily in humans whatever your thoughts are, and if they're afraid, they will act to you accordingly. They'll come up and they'll be menacing and they'll try to dominate. And so it is with others, that we have this atmosphere about us that is intangible. However, it's also part of us. It's true for people and their thoughts, it's also true of places, which is the result of all the thoughts of the people that have been in that room, that created that room. This room has its own mental atmosphere. It's a pretty good one because we've been holding a lot of meetings in here. But there are other things that have gone on in this room as well that we aren't necessarily aware of. On a conscious level, however, on an unconscious level, we may be aware of something unusual in this room. I recall one time when My husband Thad and I went away for a weekend, and we left the 17-year-old in charge. And we had no reason to believe that that was an unwise thing to do. And we got home, and I walked in the house, and I said, "Something's wrong." And so when we saw young Thad, we asked him what had gone on. He said, "Oh, nothing." And, you know, slowly, slowly, the evidence started to unravel. I found liquor bottles underneath our bed. I found handprints in our shower. There were burn marks all over the carpet from the smoke and dope. So, and I remember all the beer cans that were stuffed behind our computer monitor. But it was something we could feel as soon as we walked into a place. And just as this is true about human beings and about rooms, they're also true about neighborhoods, about cities, about nations, and about our planet. And so everything that's ever happened on this planet at one time is left in the imprint. It's like on the walls of time, there are all these imprints of everything that's ever been thought or done or happened. And so it would be as though we had recordings, like I'm making a recording of my voice now. If you were to play that a million years from now, if we had the technology to play this, you would hear this. It would be as though I were coming back to life. That non-physical part of me would be here, although my physical body a million years from now will be long gone. I'll have had a few lifetimes since then. So Holmes also says that immortality means that the individual shall persist after the experience of physical death, carrying with him a complete remembrance and an unbroken stream of consciousness. For if man be immortal, I think, death cannot rob him of anything.